Sitting here a week ago, we were talking fairly confidently about Sydney FC Men's ability to pick up two wins on the road. However, we were hoping for six. We would have been comfortable with four, but we only got one. And we also got a whole lot more drama to sort through. So to unpack more drama than a Sunday afternoon telenovela, it's Michelle Morris
Good evening.
and the Johnny Chase to my Vincent, it's Mr. Sean Maloney.
Who's Johnny Chase?
Johnny Drama.
Who's Johnny Drama?
Oh, Entourage. Come on, man.
Nah, I don't watch that shit.
No, Michelle Entourage.
No, sorry.
Wow. Okay,
I though I did
cool.
learn that that apparently it's like Mark Wahlberg produced it or wrote it, and
Yeah,
like loosely
that's right.
based on his life. I don't know how I came across. I
That's
think it
right.
was on
I
Instagram.
remember when it came out, and I remember being like, these guys
Came.
look like dickheads.
Still do.
What are you saying, Michelle? What are you saying?
That Jeremy Piven, very
I
punchable face.
don't know. Adrian Grenier? Anyway, I hope there are some Entourage fans out there that enjoyed my attempt at an introduction. How are we feeling? I'm feeling pretty shit after, honestly, as we said, two games where we thought, even though they're away, I think we thought we were going to get two wins, two dubs, and we didn't.
Well, I felt like I didn't necessarily jinx it. Like, I didn't feel like I necessarily talked up our chances. It's going to be a slam dunk, 6 points, bottom of the table teams, yada, yada, yada. It got to a point where I couldn't, I wasn't angry. I just could only laugh. Like, it was just particularly over the red card with Mac and the outcome with that, and just a little bit of banter on Twitter with people because they're dumb. But so many dumb people on there.
I missed that. I need to go check that.
We're digging. But anyway, onward and upward.
Onward and
Derby.
upward. Michelle, before we get to that, before we get
Swirling,
to that,
swirling.
Michelle, how are you feeling?
I mean, feeling pretty good, mostly because I just did a boxing session. Yeah, the gains are coming. Don't worry, guys.
Nice. Good.
Are you finding yourself standing in line at like Woolies and just like you just start shadow boxing and like and oh yeah.
Everywhere I go, like everywhere I go, it's shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Gotta practice, gotta stay on top of it,
Waiting at the traffic lights, I'll just go a few. Just
Da-da-da.
I won't even lie, literally driving here, as I was driving, I was like shadow boxing. I was like, okay, what did we learn today?
But do you look at someone and go, yeah, I could fight him. I could beat him up.
Yeah, half the boys in the
True.
cove.
Yeah.
Oh,
Has that
is what happened in Newcastle.
names.
Has that JD
Aaron Malice.
Geezer has that JD Geezer made your montage yet, or
Nah, not yet.
oh, what's he
Nah,
doing?
he's a busy boy.
Doing?
He can't come to my training sessions. They're private. Closed
Oh,
door.
okay.
Closed door
All right. No,
sessions.
I thought he just might follow you around, document your journey and put a bit
I
of
was going
a
to.
montage, you know.
I thought about doing it, and then I was like, oh, it might be weird. Like, where am I going to put the phone while I'm training? And
You're taking it too seriously now, Michelle. That means you're taking it serious.
I gotta take it
Oh,
serious.
good. You don't want to get the shit beaten out of you, I guess.
Exactly.
Tell us again how people can get involved.
Yeah, so I've got a table. So one of my tables is just about sold out. I have another table of 10 seats if you would like to purchase a ticket. The tickets are I'm doing a special deal at the moment,
Ooh,
$250.
ooh.
So that yeah, it is a lot of money, but it's all for Starlight Foundation. You get dinner, a full course. It's 2.5 course.
Yep.
You get
Alcohol.
alcohol. Yeah, there's a beer and wine package. There's a it's a fully licensed bar. It's at the Hilton Hotel, so dress up.
You get to hang out with me.
Yeah, you get to hang out with Jono.
I'll be there. Pretty cool.
And it's a full card as well, so you get to watch a bunch of fights. As a professional photographer, it will be live streamed. So if you don't want to purchase a ticket to come watch, there will be a fundraiser as well. And if you donate at least $20, you can get a link to the live stream.
How good. Well done. Good sell. Good
Hell
sell. And we'll
yeah.
keep pumping that up. We're just over a month away.
Yes, May 17, fight night.
Awesome. How good. I'm keen. Super keen. Sean, do you reckon you could beat Michelle in a fight?
I could hit her, and no, I don't hit women, actually.
I
That's
once saw a clip that
the
I could hit her.
Good save. Good
I don't hit
save.
women.
You
I
could
just
run pretty fast. I reckon you could
push
run
her
away pretty fast.
lightly and then run away really quickly.
Very good. Well, excellent. Excellent. Good formalities. Sean, let's do your favorite thing of the week.
Masturbate. No, actually, under 20, Courtney Perkins, Argentinian Messi, Jake Girdwood-Ryak have been selected for the under 23's Asian Cup squad. Corey Holman being left out, but few little whispers that, certain people not wanting to play for the Oly Roos and whatnot. No, sorry, I'm getting distracted with something else, but no Holman,
I'm happy.
selected,
I'm
which
happy that the
is
whole
good for
man
us.
is not leaving a hole in our midfield.
Yes, because he's pretty, geez, has he started just about every game this season? Very
Looking
close
pretty
to it.
close, yeah.
So, but look, well done to the lads. We won't see Jake now for a little while, nor will we see Courtney. So, I think we might have seen a slight experiment of what
I
centre back
hated
pairing
it. I
and
hated it.
what centre back pairing we'll have with no Jake there at the moment. And of course, my favorite player, Joel King, will step in at left back.
Sydney
Socceroos.
FC's 1,000th goal scorer.
Yes. The other thing I just jot down on my phone is he's quite prevalent on Twitter, Nick Rojas.
Yeah, I think I've heard the name.
And yeah, I think you responded to his tweet or his ex. I
Doesn't
don't
he usually
know.
just talk about Michael Jackson and
Michael Jackson.
Marvel?
And then there is a
Superheroes.
little bit of football.
Superheroes. He's a small child.
I hear he steals
Peter
tweets a
Pan.
lot. Bit of a
He
thief.
does. He's a thief in the night. Sorry, anyway, Sean, we digress. Please.
Seven of our players are out of contract at the season's end. Fabio, Gabriel, Robbie, Anthony, Luke, Jack, sorry, and Pavlicic. Who would you see go out of those seven? Who would you want to keep? Like stog, marry, avoid, kiss, kill, fuck, whatever it is. Like of those seven, is there any one of those, Michelle and Jonathan, you would go definitely keeping?
It's a good list. It's a good list. There's two that I would 100% re-sign tomorrow, and
Yeah.
that's Bratton Caceres.
And the rest, it's a like a 50-50. You're like, man, not too far.
The Brazilians, I think we've known for a long time that those guys probably aren't sticking around. They're both on loan. In the current climate, highly unlikely that Sydney's going to pay a fee for those guys because they've still got time on their contracts at their respective clubs. Who are the other ones?
Rodwell, Pavlicic, Mac.
Pava can stay.
Yeah, Pat.
Because I think Redmayne's going to stay. So Pava's, good number two. Robbie Mac. Bit 50-50. I look, if we re-signed him, I wouldn't be upset. But I'm not sort of, telling the club, demanding the club to ink him right now. And Jack Rodwell, well, if he wants to play for like $1,000 a game, he's more than welcome to stay.
Tree fitty.
NPL money.
Tree fitting. Coke and a
But
killer
otherwise, you just simply cannot justify. I imagine he'd still have pretty high wage demands despite his lack of playing time. But yeah,
Michelle, who would you keep out of those lot?
Yeah, probably keep Bratz and Caceres, definitely. Yeah, Rodwell. If he takes a pay cut, a significant pay cut, I think he's worth keeping around for like even just to kind of help guide the younger boys maybe, in that sort of like more of a mentor role.
I would not disagree to that. That I'd say, well, we've got a certain Wilkinson.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He's there. Yes, he's not playing well, but you couldn't get much of a better mentor with Alex Wilkinson.
Yeah. I think Fabio has shown promise, but yeah, like Jono said, I don't think the club's going to pay a fee to keep him. Gabriel has he's got to go. He was fine at the start of the season, and then he just I think he got too comfortable, too relaxed, and has shown nothing. Every time he's come off the bench, he lacks urgency like crazy.
Jop van der Linden or Gabriel Lacerda? Michelle, which
Oh, I'd go Gabriel.
I'd go Gabriel
Mm-hmm. I
still.
think so too. I think
Yeah.
so too.
Mac, I love Robbie Mac as a human being. I've always had really good interactions with him. He's always been so lovely. But that doesn't really make you a great footballer. Otherwise we'd see a lot of people be footballers. I think when he's good, he's great. But when he's been a bit anonymous this season, and it's not been probably the best season for him. But yeah, I think if the club signs him, great. Like, I'm not going to be upset. If they don't sign him, I'm not. Yeah, I won't be upset either. Pav, I think he's 21. He's a baby. Like, he could stay. We could look at getting another keeper. I think Redmayne only has so many years left, and we need to start preparing for the future. And I'm not sure if Pav is going to be the number one. I don't know. From what I've seen of him in MPL, he's fine, but I don't know if he's A-League level.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I put it this way, if Redders were to leave in the off season, or touch wood, gets an injury or something and he's out for the season, Sydney's bringing in a number one. They're not going to rely on Pavlicic to see the season out, in my opinion. Sean?
Look, I'd keep Caceres, I'd keep Braddon wholeheartedly, without a doubt. I think it'd be weird saying goodbye to Braddon after one season as our captain, and which has been a good season. He started off not so great, and he's gotten better and better. Much like our season itself, despite the last two games. Mac, I'd be happy to go. Like, if it kept him, I'm like, oh, okay. But there's a lot more of me leaning towards seeing him go. Gabriel can go. Fabio can go. Pav can stay. Jack Rodwell, waste of space, taking up a spot. Take your cornrows somewhere else. And yeah, like, we've
Yeah.
tried the likes of Jake Gerwood
I
Wright, Hayden Matthews, Gertie to come back after his injury. And who knows? And someone else for that matter.
think Bratz will come, and I think we've all said that we'd like him to stay another year. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I don't know if he will want to stay another year. It could depend on how the season ends up. It could also depend on how much we've got in the cap to pay him. The good thing is that this will be his fifth season coming up. So he'll get that salary cap dispensation. But Bratz's probably only got a couple of years left himself. And
But
there's, you know, he's at
I wonder if this season, I wonder if his thoughts of leaving were from earlier in the season, or last season when things were a bit, not great. I wonder if he's sort of changed his tune a bit
For the tally ball.
with the tally ball, with the team looking like a team, everyone's gelling.
Yeah, it could
There's like
be.
a, some sort of relationship again with the Cove. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think
Yeah.
I wonder how much, maybe he has changed his mind a bit, but I
Yeah.
guess we'll
Where
see.
would a 34-year-old go?
India.
He's been linked to India Superannuation League before. A few people are suggesting that Auckland are after him. Like I said,
I don't think so.
I don't think he and Steve Corica got on well towards the end of that. That's just an opinion, no inside word whatsoever.
No, I agree. It
But
just from the outside.
yeah, just the body language and the actual language that he'd be using. I just don't think. it was a relationship that he'd want to revisit. But yeah, that's why I said I think it'll come down to, you know, how much longer does he think he's got, and is that India superannuation check going to be there in another 12 months' time, or isn't it? But I hope. Look, I you know, self-professed big fan of Brats, and I hope the club does everything it can to keep him around. But yeah, you know, again, he's got a young family. And he, you know, like a lot of professionals that get to that 34, 35-year-old stage, you know, do they think about how much they can earn in the short time they've got left?
Last but not least from me, as we've already heard, I'm sure, Robbie, A History of Violence, Mac, has had his 2-game suspension downgrade just to one, going from
Ah.
violent conduct down to just serious unsporting conduct. And we'll deconstruct that a lot more once we get to the game, once I review that. But and I hear that what's his face is in line for the Silver Logie. So,
Most popular dickhead.
yeah. So,
Yeah.
anyway,
Yeah.
that's that. And what do you want to talk about wristies now, or wristies? When I say
I'm
wrist,
always up for talking about.
I mean the
Oh,
wristband.
you mean the Cove?
Yeah, the wristband.
Let's talk about that in the
All right. That's it for me.
preview. Well done. Good job. Oh, sorry, that was a big sniff. I apologize to our listeners. Carrying a bit of a man flu, and I will try and mute my sniffles. Let's talk about the first game of the week then, which was kind of a nice change to watch a very late night game on a Wednesday. Sydney FC versus Perth Glory over in the West. Game started pretty well from a Sydney FC perspective. I think they sort of carried on their form from the Central Coast game the weekend before. Joe Lolley ended up with a penalty. Can someone remind me how we won that penalty? Because it's completely escaped my mind. Is that the lovely
Wasn't it Courtney or
Oh,
Jake going down?
Courtney, yeah, Courtney Perkins went down in the box. He got
That's right.
tackled.
That's right. It might
He
have
got
been
tripped.
some lovely interplay. Definitely. I think it was JK, wasn't it? Kacharski with a back
Yeah.
heel.
Bit of tiki-taka football.
Absolutely. It was beautiful. It was beautiful stuff. And we saw a bit more of that in the game later in the week. Big Joe broke his goal drought, Nicole. Nicole, Michelle.
Whoa, who the hell
It's
is
Nicole.
Nicole?
Who is Nicole? Broke his Joe. No, I don't know where that came from. Where
You
that
look
came
like
from.
Nicole. But yes, he broke his goal drought. So
He
1-0
did.
up we went. That was from, yeah, that lovely little back heel from Kucharski, Courtney Perkins getting first to the ball and Kamau bringing him down. But then, you know, our fortunes changed. What, barely, well, 10-ish or so minutes later, with a
Did.
red card to Jake Gerber-Reich.
I used to know someone called Joe Nicole, just so you know. Yeah, Joe Nicole. Joe Lolly Nicole. Yeah, sorry, Sean. Red card. Red card. It was probably a red.
Bit contentious. You know, it's a bit
It
weird, bit of a weird one.
was. Sean, disagree?
No, I don't disagree. It's, you know, it sucks, but, you know, I think on this occasion, you know, ref or got it right.
The issue for me, and I think I tweeted this from my heart, not my brain, but the issue for me was yellow card, 100%, 100%. He called the yellow card. Was it Alex King? I can't recall now. I think it might have been. He loves to change a decision. So yellow card given, ball over the top, and he gestured on field that the ball itself wasn't actually going into the path of Taggart, and hence why, you know, he sort of said it wasn't an obvious goal scoring opportunity. VAR got involved. He went over, he spent about 15 minutes looking at 18 different replays. and then tried to talk himself through his own decision and decided that he made the wrong one and turned it into a red card. So I just.
Yeah, you made the point that if it was such a clear and obvious mistake, why did we need, why did it take VAR like 15 minutes, whatever it was,
And I
to come
don't,
up with
and
it?
I still don't know if clear and obvious is a thing, because again, if it takes that long, it's not fucking clear and obvious, and they need to address that. And that guy you said before, was it Rojas?
Yeah.
Rojas?
Yeah,
Yeah,
Nicholas. No H.
that guy tweeted something about shot clock, bit of a shot clock on VAR decisions. Which
I wonder where
I
he
think
got that idea from.
it's a fucking brilliant idea, to be fair, Michelle. So I think wherever he's got it from, it's a great idea. Because again, you make a decision, and it's a split second decision, and we know that, and it can be very difficult. But then, if you can't see an obvious error in the first three replays, it's not obvious. Move on. You stick with your decision.
Look, yeah, they're looking for something, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's
And it just
exactly
and then it
right.
just ruined the game, much like what happened
Shit
weeks ago
house.
when Jason again got sent off. But yeah, just spoiled it. And then I felt for Jaden after, for whatever
Yeah.
reason, the week before getting, I won't say pulled at halftime, but interchanged at halftime, and he started off the game quite well. Was in attributed to, well, Lolly's goal with a bit of work there with Jordan. And then get subbed for Gabriel. Kind of fell for him. Like, I understand
Yeah.
the decision from Wolfie to take him off and to put a defender, a centre back on. But yeah, kind of fell for Jaden there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, rough week, but it was good to see him then start at least. Sorry, not start, but then still back it up from that Mariners game where he got tactically removed, tactically substituted at halftime. I wasn't sure that he was going to start against Glory, but it was good to see that he did. Nonetheless, Red has pulled off a pretty outrageous save from the free kick that resulted from that free kick, Sean.
Is that from the safe against from Taggart?
Yeah, from the foul. I think it was Collie. I think it was the bloke with the shit hair from Glory. And Red has came up with quite a few saves to keep us in the game. So I think he had a great game. If I was going to give SFCU votes, I'd give a lot of them to Redders. The goal we conceded, not great.
They had us.
Free kick, header at the back. But I guess at the end of the day, you've got to be happy with a point, I think.
Yeah, long trip over to the West under those circumstances. Yeah, you take your medicine. I think, point. All right, we'll take that on the road.
Late night for a Wednesday, very late night for a Wednesday. So, did anyone want to do SFCU votes for
Six to
that
red.
one? 6-to-red, man. Yeah, I think Redders can take most of them there. Hayden Matthews again, maybe. JCP was good. Yeah, I think all the players that we've spoken about. So. It's a good result. Let's move on to the more recent game in memory, sadly. Newcastle Jets 3, Sydney FC 1 on Sunday afternoon at Broadmeadow. Michelle had a lovely trip up and back on Sunday. The in-between part we won't say was as enjoyable, but Cove turning up in and Sydney FC fans in general turning up in fantastic numbers, I must say. I think there was actually more Sydney FC fans there than Newcastle Jets, and I'm not even joking. I think the whole third game in 8 days, Sean, was pretty evident from the start before any drama came to the fore.
No, we didn't start off particularly well. And old mate, old friend Clem Taylor, got things rolling there for the Newcastle Jets. He is quite a talent. Clayton Taylor, and we've sung his praises in the past, Jono, when it comes to NPL and whatnot. But yeah, he gets them on the board. Robbie Stanton, obviously very happy. Yeah, disappointing then.
Very much so. Good finish by Clayton. The lineup probably wasn't
Oh,
as
yeah.
well rotated as we thought. Hayden Matthews sat out to put both Lacerda, who hasn't started a game in probably 2, 3 months, and Jack Rodwell, who I think last started a game, possibly, you know, before the A-League commenced in 2005.
BC.
That was an interesting change. No Max Burgess in the starting lineup. We had Fabio Gomez start up top, so no Jaden Kucharski. Robbie Mack starting yet again. Again, not really known for seeing out 90 minutes every week, every game. So it was a bit strange. I really would have thought Max Burgess would have started this game. His lack of starts, but lack of minutes in general is it's a bit concerning. I know he sort of was carrying a couple of injuries, but I think he's been well fit now for a while, and he's just not getting the minutes, guys. So I don't know. Michelle, you need to ask Ulfi at the press conference.
Oh, well, there's one tomorrow, but I will not be going.
Nah,
So I
need to
was,
ask about Max. Need to ask about Max.
yeah.
So Clayton Taylor made it 1-0. We had a disallowed goal, which was fairly obviously offside. Did the Cove go off for that one, or
Some people were celebrating, but like we were right,
you're in line?
like in line with it. Like you could very much tell. Yeah, he was offside.
Yeah, it was napping.
Yeah.
He was napping. Newcastle had another couple of golden chances in the opening sort of 25 minutes before quite a nice goal, you've got to say, from Reno Piscopo. Made it 2-0 on 28 minutes, and it was everything good about a Newcastle away day started to turn shit for a Sunday afternoon 3 p.m. kickoff game. It was 2-0. We were fighting, we're still creating chances and trying to get back into it, Sean, and then
Yeah, they say things happen in threes. So down 2-0, and then all hell broke loose. Robbie Mack, most violent Slovak ever. The way he, ripped him from shred to shreds. There was blood, bone.
has he made bail,
It
Robbie
looked
Mack,
like
or
the Tim Zoo fight. Yeah,
okay.
it was very much. That's what you're going to do to that chick that you fight.
Yeah.
Fuck her up.
Well, throw a stray elbow.
Yeah, hopefully
Yeah.
you do a bit more than that. Hopefully you do a bit more than that.
Dust up. Anyways.
Before I start swearing about opposition players, talentless fucks, too late. This was, I've done the stats, guys. This was Sydney FC's 8th red card since we last played against 10 men. So
Oh.
Sydney FC men have had 8 red cards, and our opposition has not had one since round 16, 22-23 season.
How many have we had this season? And
Think I was five.
two, three of them are Jake.
Two.
Two.
Yeah,
Two are
two.
Jake, one Robbie.
Paddy Wood
Oh
and
yes.
Redders early on.
Oh yes, true, forgot about that. We will not be winning the Fair Play Award.
No, we shall not.
The other one you mentioned?
Pat Wood.
Pat Wood, yeah, from when he was
Yeah.
down in Melbourne. What was the other? Yeah, two Jake, one Robbie. Redmayne.
Redders coming well out of his box
Yeah.
against MacArthur
I completely forgot about
at the Allianz. That could have still been Corica areas.
that. That
Could have
doesn't.
been.
I think it was. No.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Ulfi.
No.
It was Ulfi. It was early on because I think we were looking okay. And then, yeah,
Yes.
we didn't look okay after that. So, yeah, 8 red cards we've had since the last time an opposition team got a red, Sean. Hard to believe.
Yeah, hard to believe.
We get all the calls, though. We
Yeah.
get all the calls. Yeah. Sydney conspiracy. Yeah.
But it's just
I
like,
miss those days.
Fucking oath.
99.9% of people could see that it was a dive, that it was acting, that it was, exaggerated and exacerbated and all that. But yet he gets sent off.
Which is
Like,
the thing that annoys me because it's they're saying what was it?
Serious
Serious
unsporting.
unsporting conduct. But yet old mate is the one who barely gets touched and if at all touched and then falls to the ground. That's to me, that's more
In an
unsporting.
attempt to get a fellow professional footballer sent from the field.
Yeah, and like for me, that's way more of an unsporting like conduct because
Robbie, yeah.
Robbie Mack was walking away. He was leaving the argument, leaving the fight, leaving whatever it was. He was actually walking away. How are you going to say that's unsporting like conduct?
Robbie Stanton called it, said he was being crafty, Sean.
What, Robbie Mack was being crafty?
No, Kankar was being
Ah.
crafty.
Oh, at least he's
I said
protesting.
no. It's not crafty. It's unsportsmanlike and being a cunt, basically.
Yeah, he said that without having to say it. Like, he's not say
You
that.
know, it's outrageous, absolutely outrageous.
How do you, like, as a coach, then look at that and be like, yep, that's the right thing to do? And yep, that is the kind of person that I want on my team.
Robbie Stanton said, he said, was it a red? No. Like, he said it
Yeah.
wasn't a red card.
Everyone has. Everyone has said it.
Well, there's a few one-eyed Newcastle referee supporters
Oh,
that have
yeah.
said it's 100% a red. But and to those guys, like, apparently, unless you've done Laws of the Game course, you know, you're not allowed to fucking comment on these things because that's how football and life works. But let's talk about the laws of the game. Right, and sending off offenses. So I've got this prepared for everyone. So sending off offenses. A player, substitute, or substituted player who commits any of the following offenses is sent off if doxo, as we know, serious foul play, violent conduct. So this was violent conduct, right? So how do we define violent conduct? A player who, when not challenging for the ball, deliberately strikes an opponent. Robbie Mack's back was turned. He did not have eye contact on the bloke. It was not deliberate. Or any other person in the head or face with a hand or arm, is guilty of violent conduct unless the force used was negligible. So I would very strongly argue on all of the angles and all of the evidence that it was not deliberate, because if it was, he would have cocked his elbow and hit him, or he would have closed his fist and punched him. That's deliberate. And it's the contact is negligible, because the only reason that he got sent off was because of Kankar's fucking Academy Award-winning performance, delayed reaction after being hit in the face and going down and grabbing him and looking up and, you know, waiting until the fourth official got involved. That's the only reason that he got sent off. So the force was negligible. And this is why, Michelle, like you said, they've changed it to some made up fucking rule, because serious unsportsmanlike conduct is not a thing in the laws of the game. Unsportsmanlike conduct is, and you receive a caution. You cannot be sent off for serious unsportsmanlike conduct. So all those soccer Twitter referees trying to argue otherwise, stick that up your ass.
But you think referees are supposed to have a feel for the game? Like, you talk to the average Joe on the street and they'll say, oh yeah, footballers, they take dives, trying to, be crafty and manipulate the game. Like, don't referees have a, like, aren't they, they're out of touch. They should know that players, not all of them, but a lot of them, are looking for any opportunity to draw a penalty and get pips sent off and whatnot. So wouldn't they be able to? They should have interpreted that as that was as one of those instances. So, ruined the game, ruined Michelle's nice trip up to Newcastle. And I don't know. It just feels like this season the refereeing has just been utter shit and inconsistent, and we've got more and more referees just out of touch with the game.
We did bring it up in a one of the FIG meetings a little while ago, like ages ago. I brought it up because their inconsistency in the women's league this season has been, oh my God, has been terrible. And then yeah, you look at the men's as well, and you know, one thing is a red card and then one thing is a yellow and one thing is not, but it's all virtually the same tackle or the same situation, but they're all giving different opinions on what it is. So we did bring it up. I don't know how far this got to the APL. Obviously, it's not the APL who runs the referees. It's Football Australia who control the referees. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but
Just makes our
all the referees will come out and attack us for this now.
product look stupid and look terrible.
It does, and it doesn't make it fun. It doesn't make you want to watch the game. It doesn't make you want to support the game or participate in the game. And this is, it's part of it is VAR. Don't get me wrong, part of it is VAR completely. But if you are consistently watching games and 95% of people are throwing their arms up and going, "What the fuck?" And not just supporters of the team that it's happening to, but in general, something's wrong. And if 95% of people don't know the laws of the game, like you said, Sean, maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's a feel for the game. Maybe it's maybe it's the rules are fucking wrong. I don't know, but it's not what people want to see. You don't want to see your team go down to 10 men 5 times in the first half. It's not fun. It's shit. And yeah, if you do the wrong thing, absolutely. But if some of these calls we're getting, absolute rubbish. In the A-League Women's, I think, Michelle, it's almost the opposite. It's the non-calls that Sydney's suffered from this season in particular. Absolute non-calls, and some bullshit ones as well. We won't talk about Jada Wyman, but she's been on the receiving end of some bullshit this season as well. So yeah, it honestly takes the enjoyment out of football. And it's something that the game should be seriously worried about.
Fabio got that back on the board. Try to narrow the gap and decrease the deficit. And I'm sure you were quite happy with that. You thought it was quite a brilliant goal.
Yeah, I mean, bit of South American flair from
Caliente.
Fabio and Caceres. No, it was a great goal, great finish. I just thought I was talking to Reg and he was like, that's what he needs to do. Just no think, just hit it first time. Don't bother thinking about it.
How do
Just
you say,
like
don't think in Spanish?
not pienta.
That's it, more of that.
Yeah. But that's he Fabio speaks Portuguese,
Oh,
so
sorry.
the
How do you say
Brazilian Fabio.
oh, the same, isn't it? Am I right?
No.
The Brazilian Fabio.
But I thought it was a great goal. I was very happy with it. I was like, this is the kind of football that I want to see.
That was gorgeous.
And
Yeah.
then it was all downhill from here.
Apart from that, we were pretty shit, weren't we?
We weren't great. I think we played
Great.
fine for the most part. And then I think the
Yeah.
red card just kind of just had everyone frustrated. And
Yeah.
I also think throughout the game, the Jets were just going down so easy. Every tiny tackle, every little push that, like in any other game, everyone's getting up and playing on. But the referee blew the whistle every 2 seconds. And it was just like the game just did not move. And I think that's what really frustrated Sydney because they like to play a fast paced, you know, high intensity sort of pressure game. And they couldn't do that.
Yeah,
Hindsight's
well said.
an easy thing. But I feel like maybe like a Burgess or an Amanitides, you know, some of the with the second game or third game in a week, in 8 days, having a few fresher legs, And then bring on your max and the light to kind of close out the game or something like that. And I just thought it was shocking to see Jack and Gabriel as the two starting centre backs when Hayden and Jake, or Jake and
Completely changed our
Hayden.
game.
And look what Hayden did to that amazing
Oh,
goal line save, those go-go gadget legs.
Hayden Mertesacker at
Yeah.
it again. Hayden Suter was very impressive. Very impressive. I guarantee you'll see Hayden start. It could have just been a load thing for him.
But if
But guarantee he'll start against Westies on the weekend.
we'll have to.
Yeah, well, Rodwell will be out for about 4 weeks, so.
Stub to toe.
That
Has
save
anyone
though was unreal.
it was.
I still
It
see,
was.
in the club, on the Monday or so, we'll point out, player of the match, and you can kind of think Hayden got like
I think he did.
played half a game or whatever and still gets.
Yeah, I think he did. So 3-1 in the end. I just wanted to, we've had a bit of a whinge, but yeah, just wanted to come out and say good on Bratz for telling it how it was in his post-game interview, and not, not giving the I guess the expected answers. That's brilliant. And then Ulfie backing them, and then the club again backing Robbie Mack and appealing immediately for obvious error. Despite the fact that we know, I think the MRP may have turned up, like changed their mind maybe once in 100. It's just good to see them back the player and back the fans and the club and stand up for what's right, really. Just a quick shout out. I think that's really important, and it's really important to hear players like Bratz, the captain of the club, come out and say that it was fucking bullshit. In a much more professional manner than I just did. So, Sydney Derby week.
Yeah, rolled around.
Great lead into
Let's fucking have it.
They've had one, we've had one, so this is the decider of sorts. Do we still feel tied with three derbies? We're still at,
A little bit. I like that it's a lot more spread out than the big blue, at least.
I like when we win derbies. If we can play three, if we win three, like I'm cool with
I agree.
that. But it'll be an interesting game. So obviously Jake Erwin-Reich out, like we said, as well as Jordan Courtney Perkins, as well as now Robbie Mack. So be very interesting lineup from Ulfuk Tale. Western Sydney Wanderers will be without Nicholas Milanovic and Lockie Brook, so two of their, I guess, starting attackers. So we're missing two defenders. They'll be missing two attackers. I put it out there on X or Twitter to ask who do we think is actually worse off if you take those two players out each. Most people tended to think the Wanderers were at a bigger disadvantage. What do you guys think?
I can only comment in that I think we haven't got great depth at the moment with centre back stock, so no Jake Erwin-Reich, especially as that enforcer. I think we lose a little bit more.
Joel King to cover on the left, obviously.
Yeah,
Not
look,
losing much, like you said, Sean.
he'll do a job. He'll do a job. He's been there, done that. So him, I'm fine about. It's just we're going to miss Jake. Mac, I feel like, he's anonymous for three, four games, and then, like, this is the kind of game where he would show up and
He
bag a
hates the
goal.
Westies. He
Yeah.
hates the
Scores the
Westies more.
first or scores the winner, and then you don't hear from him for like a month, and then he scores another goal, and then you don't hear from him for three games, and then he scores a goal kind of thing. So he might miss his presence come kickoff.
Michelle, Nick Milanovic and Lockie Brook have both been pretty creative for the Wanderers this year. They haven't, Borello hasn't really had a fantastic season, particularly after he got injured. Pretty big losses, those two players, for them, I would suggest.
Yeah, probably. I think I don't know. It's hard to say. I haven't watched much of them, to be honest. More of my focus going on the women's game. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think we're at a very big loss ourselves with losing a number of players, red cards, international duty. I think it's going to be hard for both teams to kind of really get into it. Especially because I think people are still confused on whether or not the RBB is actually going to show up, because of their boycotts. So,
Yeah, I thought everything, I thought all of the bans got overturned, so I was surprised not to see them on Friday
yeah,
at their game.
they're all suspended sentences, I believe. But yeah, maybe they're still boycotting. Who knows? Maybe they're boycotting till the end of the season. But yeah, they I think part of, like, I don't know how to say this, maybe like part of why the loss was so large in the reverse fixture and the away fixture was that they had lost their support, and it was a stadium of just Sydney fans chanting. Like, you couldn't even hear the other side. So it's like, because they weren't
There
there.
wasn't another side, was there?
Yeah. So, and I think it really, for them mentally, it was like, whoa, what? Like, they were here and now they're gone. What happened? And it, coincidentally was when they were 2-0 down. So yeah, I wonder, how much of that, plays, an impact on the game and like on the players mentally. But as for like the actual players, I think both sides are going to struggle with depth, and I think we're pretty even in that regard.
Sean, what do you think Talay does with the lineup with those three players out?
Let's start at the back. Redders,
Mm.
Joel and Ryan, of course. So, and you'll see Gabrielle. Oh, let's see.
Reckon?
Let's say if all goes well this week, Jack's pulled up fine. I think he'll start at centre back with Hayden. Of course, the three in the middle with Holman, Bratton, AC. Then up front.
You've got to start Max Burgess, don't you?
You'd think so. You'd think so.
He got some minutes in the legs on Sunday.
Well, who else would you start?
And so I think you'd have.
Kacharski or Amanitidis, I guess.
Yeah, like Jack, Kacharski could play out wide in that Robbie Mac kind of position, but I think he's better more centrally. But yeah, I think you'll start Max, Lolly, and then it's just a matter of in the middle there, the nine, does he go with Fabio, which I reckon he will, and then Kacharski on the bench.
Okay. I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with that. I think it's the strongest team that we've probably got, without those guys. Max hates the Westies as well, so it'd be good. Be good to see him in action, weaving his magic. Hopefully in front of a capacity crowd. Michelle.
Yes.
What are you expecting? I know you said you haven't watched a lot of the Wanderers blokes this season. They've been basically typical Wanderers. So they lost against Brisbane last week. They had two wins away, and prior to that was when they capitulated to City and ourselves. So it's very hard to pick the form lines, but I feel like this is a team that Talay Sydney FC should be beating. How are you feeling about the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think realistically, like you said, this is a team that we should be beating. They, I don't know, they've been, to be fair, they have been a bit quiet since all the, Rudan special, and since he's kind of been a bit out of the media a bit, I think they've kind of stayed quiet as a club, as a team, just playing average football and kind of scraping by a result, or they they won 1-0 against Perth, I believe, like right at the death. And then, yeah, last week, a 2-1 loss, missing a penalty. I think they're a little bit just like kind of flat, and I think they're feeling the flatness. And I think, again, I wonder how much of the, you know, their group missing plays a part in, you know, how they feel about going into a game and going into a home game, going into an away game. Like, this is a derby. Like, everyone has to be on edge. Everyone has to be at their, you know, ultimate form, basically. And more than that, this is the end of the season. Like, every game counts, every point counts. And
yeah, if either side loses, and City and Raw pick up maximum points, you know, you're in threat of dropping out of the six now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for us, it's so important that we turn up like we had the last game, the last derby. We need that that energy, that passion, right from the start, like we did in that last derby, because I think that is what shocked them, you know, and they weren't prepared for what we did, and they were not prepared for the entire game. We had mentally destroyed them, and I think they need to be able to replicate what they did in that game.
Three absolutely. Games left. That's what I'm doing there.
Yeah, yes. Three games left. Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you know what's hectic, Sean? You know what's hectic? Michelle and I just talking about form lines. Wanderers have actually got 6 points in their last five. We have five.
Yes, they've had two wins, and we've had two draws and a win.
Yeah, which surprises me a little.
They're in slightly better form. Slightly.
Surprises me a little. Obviously, we had that loss. We had that loss to the Knicks and the Jets, and draws in between. So yeah, that does surprise me. But we're a point ahead.
We've also had to deal with games with red cards.
Yeah.
A midweek game with a red card and getting a point. I think that's pretty decent.
I reckon that should be like the KPIs that Ulfie has on the whiteboard this week. Don't get a red card in the first 45 minutes. Like, that'd be great. Tick.
In the first 20.
Yeah, fucking hell. It makes me sad. Sorry, I was just dying a bit.
How do we replicate what we did in the Parramatta game at this home game? It's going to be a different team. That's the thing, right? It's going to look very different to what it was. And that's what I'm worried about as well.
Sean, it's the vibe.
Max Burgess. You have to.
Yeah.
I know it's more about one person, but I just think Maxie, just his energy and vibe out on the field. He's a talented player, can score a goal and all that kind of stuff. But he, you know, he brings a crowd into the game. So I think he has to start. I think, you know, the weekend's game, yeah, you could talk tactically about, you know, do this in attack and do this defense and this half of football, blah, blah, blah. But I think it just comes down to like character and personalities and just who wants it more. And Maxie wants it. So, you know, the likes of him and Bratz and AC.
Buster,
of course, being there, done it. And Joel's there as well, don't get me wrong. You know, those people that, you know, have been there for past derbies over, you know, decades really for Grant. I think that will really help us to get over the line on the weekend.
And 100%. 100%. And Buster did lead from the front, like getting up for that header, that first goal, set the tone in the first 5 minutes in the last derby at Combank. And yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Shawnee boy. It's those more experienced players, those Sydney boys, you know, that have been there and that have lived it. And I think you're right. I think if those guys step up and again set the tone, like Michelle said, you gotta set the tone. I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. We know that home derbies aren't traditionally going the way of the home team lately, so it'd be a good time to fucking buck that trend, that's for sure.
I reckon.
Yeah. Score predictions.
2-1.
Gonna say 3-1.
I'm going to abstain.
Ooh.
What?
I'm too nervous. It makes me nervous.
Fair,
I don't
fair
like jinxing the
call.
game.
Can you then, Michelle, please tell our lovely listeners
Nope.
the situation with these wristbands for the code?
Oh, yes. So, from what I've heard, what I've been told, venues New South Wales made the decision to, I suppose, wristband anyone who would like to be in the Cove. But you will only be wristbanded if you have a Cove ticket or membership. If you do not have a ticket for the Cove, you will not be allowed in the Cove. And this was their sort of decision on, I guess, safety, making sure that people who aren't supposed to be in there don't come in. Various other stupidity reasons. A lot of it comes off the back of what happened. I believe a lot of it comes off the back of what happened in the last derby, in Parramatta, in terms of, the overcrowding that led to, I guess, the police stepping in, with the RBB, issues with us on our end as well, with overcrowding. And it's all about safety in their point of view. I just think that doing this is not the right way to do it because you're not helping grow the atmosphere. A lot of the times, like in these games or just any game, you'll get people who are sitting on the sides and then they're like, oh, let's go over to the Cove, like let's go see what that's about. And
Usually kids.
yeah, especially like the young kids. And I worry that it's going to start to be that this isn't the only game that this will happen, that it will be next season every game you have to have a wristband.
Which is
And
outrageous, right? And let's call it what it is. It's a fucking police state. When was the last issue we had with the Cove at Allianz Stadium? When?
don't know.
Right?
I couldn't tell
Like
you.
we're being punished for other clubs' misdemeanors
Exactly. And
and
that's the
poor
thing that's
behavior.
so frustrating is like, this wasn't our fault.
Don't
Why are
tarnish
we?
us with the same fucking brush.
It seemed so the club, from what I heard, the club and the police tried to reason with Venues New South Wales, and they all tried to come to an agreement that this was ridiculous. But Venues New South Wales said, nope, we own the place, we'll do what we want. If you would like to keep playing here, you will have to obey us, is what I'm gathering. I could be wrong here, but that's kind of the gist of what I've seen and read from the various posts. I think it's great that the club tried to fight it. I think that's awesome, and
It
it's
is.
good from the club to be backing the Cove in that sense. Good from the police to try and step in as well. But clearly everyone's hands were tied and Venues New South Wales had the final say. Like I said, I really hope that this doesn't have a continued effect. What I was hearing as well was the frustration that this is being implemented now with 3 games left to go in the regular season. If you want to change the procedures and the protocols, it should have been done next season, so you have the whole off season to kind of figure things out and talk with the active groups to say, all right, like, here's what we want to trial. This is what we would like to do. Do you have any thoughts? And have a proper conversation instead of a week before the biggest game of the season. And it's just, yeah, very frustrating that, like you said, we're being punished for another club's misdemeanor. Like we did nothing in that situation. We're not the ones who have problems with the police. We're not the ones who have problems with security. We have our supporter marshals there for a reason.
That's right.
To help us with these sorts of issues.
The stadiums have ushers to check tickets.
Yeah, and I honestly think this is going to be a nightmare for those people, for the staff who are now being told you have to give out wristbands to 1,800 people as they all come in at the same time. You know, like, what a nightmare for the workers.
And the main entry there gets blocked up as it is when there's 15,000 people there.
The entry we go into is a smaller entrance as well for these games. And they've blocked off, like, there are only two entry points into the Cove. So they're tarping off sections. So it's like, well, so you're taking away, like, the complete atmosphere and what we bring to this game.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that, though. It's clear. It's clear. It's been made clear that they don't care about that.
No.
Just very.
So, yeah.
So, Shawnee?
Very impractical.
Yeah. Illogical as well. The rhyme and reason just isn't there. It's and, you know, you'll see these fucking stormtroopers there intimidating kids, intimidating families, you know, with their bloody face masks on and their batons and... again, it's just not fun, and this is I imagine this is part of the reason the club fought so hard to you know, avoid this situation.
I also wonder logistically how they're going to try and wristband, like, however many people that have a Cove ticket all before kickoff. You know,
exactly.
Like,
and guess what, people will get impatient, they'll get pissed off, they'll start swearing at people. They won't want to wait in line. They'll try and find ways to go in. Like, it just, it,
and it's
whole thing's stupid.
It's not even the fault of the people who are there to wristband. Like, I would feel really bad for them because now they're stuck doing this job that no one thinks is a good idea, and people are going to be frustrated at them and thinking that this was their fault, even though we know that they're just doing a job and trying to get paid.
Add this to my list of grievances from my rant last week on the pod about the stadium and its management. It won't start again, but it makes supporting football so very, very hard sometimes.
Yes.
Lucky we are suckers for punishment. Very good. Sean, your final thoughts on Derby Day?
See everyone there. Hopefully good weather.
I think so.
I think it's supposed to be fine. Maybe so. Cold.
Yeah, we'll have our discussion beforehand, Jonathan, whether light hoodie or medium.
True.
Hoodie.
Well, remember, you are helping your longest and bestest friend move furniture on Saturday morning too. Yeah. So. Just don't forget. Don't forget.
Yep.
Don't have a clash like you made up last time, please.
What's that one? Well, I helped you move last time.
You did. You did. You did. That's true. Michelle knows what I'm talking about.
Andrew doesn't fucking do it, the lazy cunt.
Wow. From left field. Drive-by for Denton. All right. Well, beautiful. Any other general business? Anyone else fighting anyone or parkouring across the rooftops of Sydney or anything like that?
Having withdrawals, Michelle. No Sydney FC women's football, nothing.
It is a bit sad, a bit frustrating.
Getting a Matilda.
Tilly's on tomorrow?
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, it's not. Do you reckon Gilnick got a calf injury because she couldn't chase down Courtney Vine in training? Do you reckon that's why?
I reckon it was when she was trying to fight someone in camp, probably.
Yeah, probably. Mm. All that frustration.
What's the time zone difference?
It's like a 10 a.m. kickoff or something, I think.
Yeah.
And most people probably have seen that before they listen to this. But, guys, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your week. Three games to go. Three games to go until finals, or hopefully finals at this rate. You'd hope that a win would all but secure it. I'm pretty sure a win would secure a final spot for Sydney FC. given the lack of games left. So I'm excited. Hopefully there's a good crowd. 30,000 plus would be lovely. I don't think it's not going to sell out, especially with all the issues around active support and everything else going on at the moment. But obviously the club will want as many people there as possible. Do get involved. Be patient with the people that are at the end of the day doing their jobs, handing out wristbands, whatever it might be. And if you see any of us at the game, make sure you say good day, and we'll have a drink and talk about how shit or good our football team is. Michelle and Sean, thank you very much. I've been Jonathan. We'll talk to you next week.